Blog Talk Radio.
This is XXBN, XXBN.net, Raleigh Durham, XXBNradio.com, Fargo. All right, this is Up the Hill with Zach and Jill. So far, we are minus one Zach. Where is Zach? Up the Hill with Zach and Jill is an exclusive production of XXBN. Let's give Mr. Zach approximately 30 seconds. Football. It's your football fantasy. 1 hour of football talk, 9:30 Eastern Time on XXBN. So far, my fearless colleague Zach is not here, so we're going to go without Zach so far. And Zach, where are you? It's hard to go up the hill with Zach and Jill when there's no Zach. Tonight we've got three issues. Sarah Palin, she's the vice presidential nominee. She is a narrow-minded conservative puppet. She is essentially the anti-woman candidate. We might as well have put Rush Limbaugh in a sorority girl president outfit, because that's what we have with Sarah Palin. Also on topics tonight, O.J. Simpson is back on trial. I don't know why he's back on trial. But I know why he's back on trial, because he broke the law in Vegas, I guess allegedly, as he has not been convicted of anything. And our other topic, oil prices are, you can buy a barrel of oil right now for $97.16 is what it closed at today. And despite that, if I go down the street to the local gas station, what do I find? I find gas prices at $4.29 a gallon. And why is that? Why is gas at the highest price despite it being 60% lower a barrel? They can blame this on Hurricane Ike all they want to, but if those that purchased the barrels of oil truly felt the pipelines were knocked out of commission, if that were the case, then barrels of oil would likely be $200 a barrel. And given the fact that they're not $200 a barrel, given the fact that the price has actually dropped down 60%, one has to kind of suspect that perhaps this crisis, which is without a doubt a tragic crisis in the Gulf of Mexico, in Texas, as clearly this is a terrible tragedy that has befallen Houston, befallen Texas. But does that inherently mean that big oil should just go ahead and gouge us for money? And that's exactly what's happening. We are going to try to bring Zach in, and there he is. All right, how about if we start this show all over again so Zach can hear our new theme song?
And I've been waiting for this moment.
All right, this is Up the Hill with Zach and Jill and my party colleague. Zach, welcome.
Thank you. I actually like that song. Who sings it?
Who sings that? You had to ask me that. Let me get back to you on that. No, Zach, you know that's a remake, right? I mean, I realize you're like 12 or something. But...
Yeah, I never knew that. A remake of what, actually?
It is a remake of the same song by Phil Collins.
I did not know that. Pretty nice.
It is from the soundtrack of the movie Miami Vice.
Oh, okay. You know what, Jill, because I'm actually trying to expand my horizons and, you know, listen to different types of music because, you know, I'm starting to get into a little bit of classical. Classical is very calming, very soothing, very relaxing. I actually like it. I'm listening to it. I'm thinking, why haven't I listened to this years ago? You know, maybe I won't be so stressed.
So don't tell me you're giving up on the all rap radio.
Never giving up on all rap radio. But you know, but sometimes whenever you listen to the all rap radio, you're gonna need that classical to fall back on, and you know, kind of get your mind, you know, back focused, because you know the rap kind of bang things up a little bit. So yeah. Classical comes in handy after a good rap.
Zach, this is just my impression, of course, but I think if you want to clarify your mind, you can throw all that rap and hip-hop in the garbage can.
Are you serious?
Except,
do you know what would
happen?
Except
I left my wallet in El Segundo.
I think we'll start throwing that away first. That'll be the first piece of rap that we'll throw away. First piece.
So, Zach, which topic do you want to start with?
Oh, okay, I'm glad you asked that. Which topic do I want to start with? Let's see. Which topic will it be, people? Will it be Miss Secretary, Librarian, Vice President? Or will it be Mr. Bloody Hands, OJ?
Well, we've already got a comment in.
Okay.
So we could start off, if you want to hold the comment, we've got a comment from Lisa in North Carolina. We could start with that, or we could start with, I've already killed two people and gotten away with it, so now I'm putting down scores in Vegas.
Well, you know, I think, you know, what we should do is we should start with our listeners. So let's start with Lisa. Let's start with her comment and go from there.
All right. Lisa's comment, quote unquote, how come every faith-based, in parentheses, scary word person, always has the same look on their face? They had a piece about teaching abstinence in school, and they asked this joker, how come you don't teach wait till marriage, but explain AIDS and STDs without a condom use as preventative to their health? He pursed his lip and said, we feel that teaching AIDS and STDs protection and the use of a condom promotes premarital sex.
That's a good comment, Lisa. What do you think about it, Jill?
Well, I think it's completely... It's completely... insane. I mean, I understand this whole, you know, the concept of harm elimination. You know, if everyone is just practices abstinence until they get married, then there won't be any HIV. But that's not how the world works. You know, I want to add something that Sarah Palin said, which just completely trips my trigger. This from Sarah Palin's campaign. She says her campaign says that she doesn't mix faith with government business, but Palin did ask her audience, and I'm trying to say this with a straight face, Palin did ask her audience to pray for a $30 billion natural gas pipeline that she's on a mission to build in Alaska. In the video, vice presidential candidate, McCain partner, Sarah Palin, states, quote unquote, "I think God's will has to be done in unifying people and companies to get that gas pipeline built. So pray for that. I can do my job there in developing the natural resources, but all of that doesn't do any good if the people of Alaska's heart is not with God." You're speechless, Zach.
I am speechless.
So there are right off the bat, there are two standing issues. First, listener Lisa in Raleigh's comment, essentially summing it up and paraphrasing it, is Sarah Palin feels that if you teach about condoms, that will cause a propensity to have premarital sex, and thus the best thing to do, in Sarah Palin's vision, is to take the risk of HIV and let whoever dies of HIV die in order to not take the risk of premarital sex. Now, Zach, I'm sure you've never had premarital sex. I know that I certainly have never considered it. Maybe we should switch to OJ, Zach. I think Sarah Palin has overfried your brain at this point.
Not only that, so let me just make a comment. So Lisa, she is for having teaching about, you know, sex education in school, correct?
Correct.
Correct. Yeah, let's move on. Let's come back to that. Sarah is, and she has children. I'm sorry, let's go. Go, move on.
Oof. Okay, so would you like to go to currently free double murderer OJ, who's now in trouble in Vegas and back in the justice system, or would you like to go on about gas prices?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just saying that if we talk about gas prices, that might be the end of the show, because let me tell you something. I can definitely relate to that. And Jill, I'm telling you, what day was it? What's today? Today is Thursday. Oh, duh. I'm telling you, what was it, Saturday, Friday or something, whenever those prices just jumped up like that, it went through the roof. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You know, one day you're just, about $3.49. The next day, people say it was like $5.06 something. I never saw that. I mean, I saw like $4. I think the highest I saw was like $4.29. I never saw like $4.99 or any of that crazy stuff. But that was insane. I mean, you should have saw it. You know, it's kind of scary. Whenever you see days like that, and then you just see people reacting. It's almost like if something like really, really bad happened, I think people would just start going crazy. I mean, you know.
Well, it was ridiculous. You know, the storm was what, 1,200 miles or so away in Texas?
Yeah.
There was zero chance that it was going to make this astonishingly, turn at a 76-degree angle and somehow keep its Category 2 strength all the way to North Carolina. I mean, that is meteorologically and physically impossible. We're not going to run out of gas in Raleigh. But, well, we did run out of gas. That was the astonishing thing.
That's true, yep. It was very astonishing.
The only grade that you could get was 89, because nobody gets 89. You know, everybody who needs, you know, the high octane for their sports car gets the 93, and the rest of us get the 87. Who buys 89? What do you do with 89?
Hey, what do you say? I get 89. That's who gets 89. What is wrong with 89? I want to
hear this. What do you get 89 for?
Why do I get 89 for? Because, well, one thing, 87 is it will have your engine knocking, and 93. I mean, that's for the people who really got the 93 money. So I get the plus. The plus is like the middle, you know. I can afford a plus. I'm a plus. I'm a middle class person. Plus means you're middle class.
That's plus what means you're a moron, Zach. We drive the same kind of car.
We
drive the same kind of car. It says in the owner's manual, use regular.
No, I will never use regular. Do you use regular?
I use regular. I mean, spending the extra money to go to 89. I mean, that's like paying money for filet mignon and getting a double quarter pounder.
Really? Well, I think 89 was very good in my car. I mean, my car runs very smooth and like it should. I think with 87, honestly, with 87, I can tell a difference. You know, it's just jumping, it's knocking. That gas ain't right. But 89 is just is good for me. I don't do that.
Well, if you like your 89, Zach, you have your 89. So you may be the only person in Raleigh-Durham that buys 89.
That's why it's so much. Probably so. Well, hey, that's fine. I love being in a class by myself anyway. So there you go.
You can join us on XXBN 646-200-3136, 646-200-3136. You can also jump into our exotic chat room and check out the exciting events happening in the XXBN chat room. You can do that by going to xxbn.net. This is Up the Hill with Zach and Jill on XXBN. With me, my colleague, Zach.
People, please.
Topics tonight, Sarah Palin, the sorority sister that somehow became mayor of a town of like 12 people in Alaska, which I've found some really amusing things about the belief structure in Wasilla, Alaska.
Uh-huh. Tell me.
Let me just go back to this. This was quite amusing, okay?
Okay.
Now, if I'm following this correct, and I stumbled onto this right at the last moment, Zach. So I'm somewhat shooting from the hip. No more than, say, Sarah Palin. While I pull this back up, Sarah Palin recently was busted on her lack of foreign policy experience, which she went on to discuss how she has all of this foreign policy experience and that she has gone around the world and she kind of made the attempt to say she went to Iraq, but she didn't. She went to Kuwait, and she talked about her experience in Ireland. Well, when they researched this, her experience in Ireland, she was on a layover for refueling. Sarah Palin considers herself a born-again conservative Christian. She supports outlawing abortions, even in cases of rape or incest, prohibiting same-sex marriages, What I want to find, though, she calls for prayer for the construction of a $30 billion natural gas pipeline. Palin stated, "Pray for the military men and women overseas, where our leaders and our national leaders are sending U.S. soldiers out on a task that is from God." They then spoke to her pastor. Palin was standing at his side, and her pastor spoke about tapping into Alaska's natural resource wealth in order to fulfill the state's destiny of serving as a shelter for Christians at the end of the world. Pastor Kalmans, forgive me if I'm pronouncing this wrong, Pastor Ed Kalmans, stated, "I believe that Alaska is one of the last refuge states. Come on, you guys. In the last days, Callan stated, raising his arms to underscore the point, and hundreds of thousands of people are going to come to the state and seek refuge, and the church has to be ready to minister to them. This is from Wasilla, Alaska, the home of Sarah Palin. Now, Zach, perhaps you should store some of your 89 gas in the event that, you know, Osama bin Laden throws a nuclear weapon at the nuclear reactor in Apex, and you have to drive to Alaska.
Yeah. Drive to Alaska. Right.
And that the Wasilla Bible Church will be there ready for you, Zach, as a refuge state in the last days. There will be hundreds of thousands of people going to Alaska to seek refuge, and the church needs to be ready.
Hmm.
I'm sorry, this would be the Wasilla Assembly of God.
That's bizarre. I mean, is she running for president? Because sometimes I get confused.
I mean, she makes Rush Limbaugh look. She makes Rush Limbaugh seem like a liberal.
That's so true. I never thought about it like that.
Other believes she's a longtime member of the NRA. She supports the constitutional right to bear arms, which is fine. She's a proponent of gun safety programs for Alaska's youth. That's a very good thing. She states she's always strongly supported the personal use of fish and game by Alaskans. And excuse me if I understand wrong, you know, and maybe a listener can call in with this, but I understand fish and game to be living creatures. Is that correct?
Yes, right.
So you can join us, talk about any topic. We're talking about gas prices, Zach's 89 gas, and O.J. Simpson. Well, what are your thoughts on O.J., Zach?
Well, you know, I was about to ask you that because my thought on O.J. is just, here we go again. O.J., I mean, really, he's in Las Vegas. Is this the thing about he's on trial about the gun thing? Is this what that is?
He's on trial. O.J. and... To quote this, a Vegas sports memorabilia dealer stated that O.J. Simpson and five other men robbed him at gunpoint.
Yeah, the gun thing. Ugh.
The total value of the items taken, according to testimony, is $100,000. O.J. is being charged with armed robbery and kidnapping. I mean, does O.J. realize that Johnny Cochran is dead? His get-out-of-murder, free card is gone.
I don't think he does. He probably thinks it's just some bad nightmare or something. But he's definitely spinning out of control. I don't know what's wrong with him.
All right, we have a call from Maine. Maine, you are on XXBN Up the Hill with Zach and Jill. Go ahead.
Hey, Zach and Jill.
Hey, how you doing?
It's Ryan from Maine.
Ryan from Maine. What do you think about all this? Other callers, we've got a board filled with callers, so please stay with us. We will get you on. Go ahead, Ryan from Maine.
Well, I think we just get the impression, you know, with O.J., we've been there too much, and I really don't think the American public really cares anymore, you know?
Exactly.
You know, we've got...
I know I don't.
We've got, you know, Paris and Britney to fill our headlines now, so.
Now, Ryan, Ryan, how about Sarah Palin? Do you see yourself driving to Alaska at the end of the world to be saved by Sarah Palin?
No. No, but she does sport a good pair of glasses, I'll tell you.
She does. It's very cute.
Yeah, very, very good. You know, I guess if you want to boost your eyeglass, you know, company, she's the one to do it. But, you know, to be second in command to McCain, I don't know.
Now, Ryan, do you plan to vote for Sarah Palin?
No. That's a very definite no.
All right, Ryan, if you can stay, Ryan from Maine, if you can stay with us, caller from Raleigh, Durham. Go ahead, you're on XXBN.
Hey, Zach, hey, Jill, it's Derek from Raleigh.
Derek from Raleigh.
How's it going? All right, you guys got so much going on here, I'm not even sure where I should start. But first of all, with OJ, he's just lucky that we've got all this other stuff going on to take the attention away from him kind of this time, because the first time, you know, he was the only show in town. You know, everybody knows he did it the first time. If we can get him this time for, like, spitting on the sidewalk, I don't care. I just hope he's convicted for something finally. We spent all that money the first time, which is a waste of time. So hopefully they'll get him on something this time. You know, I'm a big proponent of fair trials and all that, but this one really sticks in my craw.
Yeah.
Who O.J. Simpson got his fair trial? That's
sorry?
My own personal belief. To me, O.J. Simpson used his fair trial card, you know, when he killed Ron and Nicole and got away with that.
Well, you know, I mean, he worked the system and he got off. You know, he spent a lot of money. The system worked for him. So I don't even want to, you know, go into that last one. This one, I'm not so sure about, you know, I don't know a lot about what the issue is. Something about, you know, sports memorabilia. I thought he lost the rights to all of that. I mean, he lost his Heisman Trophy. So, I mean, if he had to give that up, I don't see how he's entitled to anything else. But, you know, if they can get him, get him. He's a schmuck. I think he needs to rot in jail. Hopefully it'll happen. This time, as far as Sarah Palin, oh, Dios mio. I think Tina Fey does a much better Sarah Palin than Sarah Palin does. If anybody saw the Saturday Night Live sketch.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I think you're right.
Because for the first week, I honestly thought that was her. I didn't even realize, you know, it wasn't actually Sarah Palin until somebody at work said, "What are you, stupid? That wasn't her." I don't plan on voting for Sarah Palin or John McCain. I don't dislike her. I think the whole thing is that I totally disagree with her politics, and I think that if John McCain picked her because, you know, he was just going to play the female card. Well, the National Organization of Women, who just came out and endorsed Barack Obama, kind of put that to rest. And the slight bounce that he had in the polls is now starting to correct itself. The novelty is starting to wear off, and people are starting to realize that, you know, she's worse than John McCain. She is as far right as right can be, and they thought that anybody who was going to vote for Hillary would vote for her just because they, you know, happen to both have vaginas. Then he's an idiot.
Wow.
All right, let's see. Everybody stay on the line. We have a caller from Maryland. Maryland, go ahead. You're on XXBN. Hello, Zach and Joe.
Hello? Hello?
Go ahead, caller. You're on XXBN. Up the hill with Zach and Jill.
Hi. How are you doing?
Great.
We're great. How are you, caller?
Good. Really good. I was calling about Palin. I've been listening to what you've been saying, and I heard you mention that you're against abortions even for rape and incest. Is that correct?
Well, she's against abortion under at any cost, no matter whether it's for rape or incest, period. I mean, and she's just totally against it on principle.
Right. Well, I can respect somebody having principles, and I admire her if she truly believes that and is willing to take a stand for what she believes in. However, it concerns me. I certainly won't be voting Republican. To me, that is so big government and so against the American principles of freedom and justice. And it's interesting because she calls herself a conservative. And, you know, Jill, Zach, what I've noticed lately is that a lot of these conservatives, they're not even really conservative. When I think conservative, and there are some things about conservative philosophy that I understand and that I respect and that I even agree with. But more and more, these so-called conservatives, these ultra-right-wingers, which the caller who just called in, he's right. This is as right-wing as it can get with this woman. These ultra-right-wingers aren't even really conservative. This is not small government. Saying that somebody can't choose, not just a woman, a married couple, for instance, a woman is raped by someone and they can't have a choice as to how they want to handle that situation. Now, that's the government going too far into people's lives.
Yeah.
So, exactly. And I think that's where my concern is. I think that a lot of people in our country are looking for the center. They're looking for moderate. And they were looking at McCain, well, he's the maverick. He's a Republican, but again, moderate to the center. And they're now looking at this vice president he picked, and I think some of them are, the way I hear people talking around town, they're going to possibly just excuse this. Okay, well, she won't be the president. She won't make policy. He will, so we're not going to worry about it. Well, what if he were to, and this is just saying, what if he were to pass away and she were to become the president? I think it is serious. She's not a center person. She's not moderate. She's not a maverick. He obviously picked her to appeal to the extreme right wing that's taking over the Republican Party. That's why he picked her. And I think that people who want to pull to the center and pull moderate are making a mistake if they're going to vote for John McCain because, you know, again, if he passes away and she becomes president, that's not the center.
Okay, let's bring – thank you for your outstanding comments. Caller from Maryland, please stay with us. Let's bring Ryan from Maine back in so we can get everybody.
Yo. Yeah.
Ryan from Maine, go ahead.
Well, I mean, like the caller from Maryland thing, I mean, McCain isn't getting any younger. And, you know, if something was to happen, is she ready to lead? No.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are we ready to have her lead? No. You know, so it's kind of a catch-22, you know. Do we want her to lead? No. You know,
right.
So it's, you know, so I think it only strengthens, you know, the Democrats' part, you know, that they got a much more solid, you know, if something happened to Obama, then, you know, Biden can definitely, you know, take his place without issues.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Okay, we're good.
Okay. Jill, are you still there? Okay, Jill. Caller from Raleigh, are you still there? Okay, and the caller from Maine, are you still there? Okay. We are having technical difficulties, people. So the call from Maryland, are you still here?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. I don't know what happened to everybody else.
That's all right. It just knocked me off. That's okay.
It knocked me off too.
Yeah.
But yeah, so basically, I mean, I don't know if y'all heard everything that I said, but
no.
I totally agree with you. I mean, because, you know, how can a person, you know, I mean, she really can't speak for every situation, you know, the way
mm-hmm.
I see it. I mean, you know, somebody could get raped, you know, by their dad or by their, you know, and then you're saying that, you know, abortion shouldn't be legal. Uh-oh. We have a caller. Jill, are you still there?
This is the caller from me.
Oh, good. They're back on, too.
They're back on. So I think everybody's back, but I don't know if anybody can hear Jill. Can y'all hear Jill?
Yeah.
You can?
You hear me?
Yeah,
yes,
I hear you now.
We're all on.
Hey,
Jill, is it okay if we just pick up where we got cut off?
I think that would be best.
Okay. When I was talking, I was saying to the caller who called in, I believe he's from Raleigh, he was talking about how Palin isn't ready to lead yet, and I was saying that I agree, because a leader has to be able to pull center and find common ground. And somebody said, you know, if something were to happen to Obama, Biden could do it. And I agree with that. I think that Obama and Biden and John McCain are all capable people of finding center and being moderate and finding common ground. If Palin were to step into the presidential position, this is an extremist. This is not a person who is capable of speaking to everyone or even attempting to speak for everyone. She cannot find moderation. I haven't heard a single thing that she has said that makes me believe that she's capable of creating unity.
Okay. Derek from North Carolina, what are your thoughts?
Am I still here?
You are still here. We finally got everybody back.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. All of a sudden I heard some music and then something said goodbye. No, I agree with her. And case in point, when I got in from work today, there was an interview on CNN with a Hispanic reporter speaking with John McCain and asking him about the president of Spain, Zapatero. And whether he would have an interview, or whether he would invite him to the White House to speak, or whether he would speak with him at all. And, you know, in the Latino community, of which I'm a part, this is a huge issue. And he totally skirted the issue. I mean, there was no, yes, I would, no, I wouldn't. And I don't understand what the point is with McCain or the Republican Party of not talking to your enemies. Everybody wants to talk to their friends. Well, you know what? I mean, my friends like me. I don't have to talk to them. It's the people out there that are pissed off at us, that don't like us, that are trying to kill us. that we really need to sit down and have a conversation with. I don't get this whole thing about, no, you know, why it's so important that we not talk to our enemies. What the hell is up with that? I mean, those are the people mm-hmm. we really should be talking with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe it's me. I just think it's those people out there who don't understand us or who we don't understand that we should be talking to. I mean, you know, my friends like me. I don't have to convince them I'm a good guy. They all think I'm a good guy. It's those people out there that you know, that think I might be a schmuck that I need to sit down and talk to and say, look, you know, I'm really not that bad. We're really not that far apart. Maybe we can find some common ground. Sure, we're not going to agree on everything, but maybe there's somewhere that we can sit down and say, yeah, we can agree on this, and we can at least have a dialogue. I don't get that whole point about, you know, everybody has to have the same ideology that we have before I sit down and talk with them. This is a huge world. Not everybody's going to agree with you, yet there has to be some common ground that we can talk to. And why can't we sit down and talk to people who don't agree with us? And why does every country on the planet have to have the same ideas that we have and have to believe the same things that we believe in? Everything's not a democracy. Every country is not a democracy. We are. We happen to be. That's good. I love that. That's wonderful. That's why I live here. But why does every other country have to have the exact same ideas and beliefs that we have? I never got that, and I still don't. I mean, let them run their country the way they want to run it. I mean, I understand unless they're civil rights or human rights issues, but on ideological things, why does everything has to be a democracy? I mean, there are communist countries out there. God bless them. Let them be communists if that's what they want to do. There are socialist countries out there. Let them do what they want to do. Why does everything have to be the way we want it to be? I mean, you know, why are we the police and the conscience of the world? I never got that, and I still don't.
Excellent
point. It's the cowboy ethics.
I'm sorry?
It's the cowboy ethics that we need to control what's going on.
Yep.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And you know what? If there are some rogue idiot out there that's murdering these people and that's, you know, keeping everybody down and it's not letting them be a part of the global community, all right, then maybe, you know,
right.
the global community should step in, not just the United States. I mean, I thought that was the whole role of the United Nations.
Is that
we get together as a planet and say, look, you can't do this. This is not going to happen, and we're going to change this as a planet, as a League of Nations, as FDR originally planned for this whole thing to be. And I don't know what the hell it's turned into now. Don't even get me started on that. But you know, we're probably the largest and one of the most well armed countries on the planet. And sometimes, you know, we need to step in and slap somebody on the wrist. All right, I understand that. But I don't understand is why we have to be right all the time. Might doesn't make right. And we're not always right. Sometimes we need to say, you know what, we screwed up, or we don't know everything, or, you know, maybe somebody else is right. Or you're allowed to. If there's this little tiny third world country somewhere who wants to, you know, run their country the way they want a country, as long as they're not murdering people in the streets and you know, let them do what they want to do. I mean, it's life's way too short, and we've got enough of our own crap going on here. We've got to stop sticking our noses into everybody's business. Either we're going to take over the entire planet, and it's going to become the, you know, the United States of the world, or we're going to let people do what they want to do.
Exactly.
It costs way too much money.
I agree. If I could just interject here, you just made some excellent points. Yeah, exactly. If some small third world country wants to say be socialist, why can't be socialist? Why do we have to step in and say, no, you have to be capitalist, you have to do things our way? If it's a human rights issue, yes, that's different, but then it's a global issue. If we just go stomping in there, like the one caller said, you know, what did he say, cowboy ethics, if we do that, what message are we sending to the rest of the world? We can't be the United States of the world. Like you said, we need to use the United Nations. Yes, there are problems, but we can straighten them out and use that group, that governing body as a tool to address human rights issues, and human rights issues aren't being socialists or being communists. Other countries, their people have a right to make choices too. It isn't just what our government wants.
And that's
well, you
why
know,
we're
I,
in
I,
so many countries. Yeah.
I think, you know, a classic example is 1973 Chile. You know, to use that as an example, you know, the U.S. imposed our democratic will and we helped the democratically elected governor, democratically elected president, who happened to be a communist, in Chile, Salvador Allende. So, you know, we helped him commit suicide, and then we helped a non-democratically elected dictator, Augusto Pinochet, who killed, you know, how many tens of thousands of people on our behalf?
Excellent point. And there are so many other points that could be made about countries in Central America. You know, again, these small third world countries that we've been messing in and are still messing in, you know.
Well, if we cared about human rights, why didn't we go into Cambodia in 76, 75, when Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge were you know, killing a quarter of the population?
Right. I mean, you could even look at Africa now. It's questionable why we don't get involved sometimes in humanitarian issues until there's some type of financial or business problem, and then all of a sudden there are humanitarian issues.
Well, that's because Darfur has no oil.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I mean, there is no economic incentive for us to go into Darfur and save the people there who are dying by the thousands. However, there is an economic incentive for us to go into Iraq and pay for this world out of this war out of the ass, and these people are making money hands over fist, and where is it going? I mean, why are we still footing the bill for this war? They're making tons of money. Trust me, I know. We're all paying it at the gas pump, and we're still footing this bill. I don't get it. They should be footing the bill. I don't understand. I mean, they're making all this money, and we've got a bank closing and with all the full crisis, and Morgan Stanley and Lehman Brothers, I mean, geez, too many crickets. I worked for Lehman Brothers as a bicycle messenger when I was like 17, biggest company on Wall Street, I mean, an institution, and they're going out of business. What the hell is wrong with that?
Exactly. What is wrong with this picture? We really need some politicians to address these issues. We don't need politicians to talk about the end of the world coming and other nonsense. We need politicians to address these really important problems.
Right.
The world's going to end when it ends. There's nothing we can do about it. But we've got people in Houston right now and in southern Texas who are standing in line for water and a week after this hurricane. Why aren't we releasing some of these strategic oil reserves? They're holding it for an emergency, you know, if this is an emergency, I don't know what the hell is. We've got, I don't know how many gallons of oil sitting in strategic reserves. What is it sitting there for? It's sitting there for because if we have a national emergency, we can use that to help the people so prices don't go up to $5.49. We had a local gas station here just the other day, raised gas prices for a day to $5.49, and now the state government is investigating that, and that's here in North Carolina. So, I mean, how bad does it have to get? Is this not a national emergency if we've got citizens suffering in one part of the country who have no food, no water, and gas is going up all over the country because of this? I think that's, you know, an emergency enough to release a couple of million gallons of oil to stabilize the prices of oil. But no, it's sitting there. And trust me, there is enough oil there. We could release a couple of million gallons for a couple of months, and we would still have enough to tide us over. I don't get that at all. And they refuse to release any of this strategic oil.
Ryan, Ryan and me, Ryan, what are your thoughts?
Well, we weren't really affected in Maine too much with the rise of the prices. I mean, the highest we got up here was like $4.19, and it quickly went back down to $3.79, $3.80. So we were pretty lucky up here. I mean, as most people know, Maine is usually the last place to get anything. So Maine and Alaska. So we were lucky enough not to take the brunt of at least $5 a gallon. But we don't seem to be taking the huge jumps that the South and the Midwest is taking with gas prices right now, luckily. But they're getting us with a fuel oil instead, so.
The thing is, we have all of this oil sitting somewhere in a tank.
We have all this oil sitting somewhere in reserves where they put a certain amount of all of the oil that comes in. It goes and sits somewhere. It's our strategic oil reserve for an emergency. Well, I mean, what are we holding? If the Martians come, I mean, this is an emergency. I don't get why they won't release some of it. I'm not asking to open the floodgates, but it's there for an emergency. This is an emergency. Why can't we release some of this oil? OPEC is already cutting back. I mean, they know they've got us by the cojones right now, so they're cutting back production. and what are we doing? Oh, we're going begging to them, oh, please, give us a little bit more. I mean, it pisses me off.
Oh, yes, it's very upsetting. It's very irritating. And we have to ask ourselves why. Who doesn't want it released?
The government. The government doesn't
right.
want this oil release. I mean, it's. I don't know if it's John McCain or if there's some other governing body or like some secret society like the Skull and Bones or something from the 39 Steps. I don't know who the hell that makes this decision. But the fact is that most people don't even realize that we have this reserve there. And that a certain percentage of all the oil that comes in, a little bit goes into the kitty. Well, the kitty is there for all of us.
Hey,
and once in a while, you got to dip into the kitty. I mean, once in a while, that couple of days, I get paid every 2 weeks, usually like the Wednesday before payday, I've got to, I'm broke. It would be nice to have a little kitty I can dip into. Well, we've got a kitty we can do that to, just before. So I don't understand why we can't do that. It's not like we're saying, let's just use it all, but once in a while. During the hurricane season, when we've got people suffering down in Texas or in Louisiana or the Gulf Coast or in Florida or wherever it happens to be, we need to do that. And now, especially when a hurricane of this magnitude hits the Gulf Coast, well, we've got over 14 refineries, major refineries, out of business, shut down. I mean, they're not destroyed. They will be back up and running eventually. But at the moment, they're offline. Alaska, there's a lot of oil up there, but it doesn't provide us with enough oil to the major, to Middle America, to make sure that we don't have to go kissing the asses of all these people over there and begging them for oil. And like I said, they're already tightening the belt because they know they've got us. So they're cutting back production. There's nothing we can do about that. It's their oil.
Right.
And, one thing that I noticed, like when we had Katrina, I mean, gas prices went up, but they went up, 5 to 10 cents, every couple of days, throughout the hurricane. With this hurricane, which wasn't as bad as Katrina, I mean, we had a 50, 60-cent jump in one day when the hurricane had just hit. So it's kind of hard to believe that the hurricane could affect it that quickly, to that magnitude.
Exactly.
A 50-cent jump.
It's true. Anytime we have something like that in the Gulf Coast, the thing about you're right. I don't understand why this one, the gas prices went up so bad. Because during Katrina, there were these refineries that were destroyed totally, and now these things aren't destroyed. they're just offline. It's just going to take a little Band-Aid here and there to fix it. It's going to take some time. And that's the oil company's job. That's what they're getting paid for. They've got insurance to cover that. I'm more concerned about all these people that you see on TV in line waiting for water, waiting for this, waiting for that. Granted, it's better than it was during Katrina. You don't have people floating in water and the helicopters flying overhead and not doing anything. They've got water, they've got ice, they're doing this. But I'm more concerned as to why there's no gas, why there's no... the help isn't more right there. Why the Red Cross is running out of money. Well, this is what we pay for. This is what we pay taxes for. We spend $150 billion a day over in Iraq to hunt down somebody who is probably dead already.
All right, if I can put everybody on hold for 5 seconds while we do station identification. This is XXBN, XXBN.net, Raleigh, Durham, XXBNradio.com. Fargo, this is Up the Hill with Zach and Jill and Joe Brenneman. With me, my quiet colleague, Zach. Zach is here someplace in the XXBN studio.
No, I'm just listening there. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm going to keep the show running for another. I got us another 30 minutes, so if anyone or everyone wants to stay, we'll take it to 10:30 Eastern Time on XXBN.
No, what I was just going to say was, I would just listen to everybody, and you know, it's kind of sad. I mean, for one thing, the United States needs to stop being so cocky, because like one of the callers said earlier about how you know how we try to make, you know, the other countries do like us and be like us. And like I think Derek from Raleigh said, I mean, you know, let them do their own thing. The United States, we have just got it to, like, you know, we're the land of the free, supposedly. You know, so we're just thinking that everybody should be like us, and then we go over there and try to, you know, make them do this and do that. And, you know, and then when you think about it, it is ridiculous. I mean, that's another country. That's, you know, they're going to run things the way they run it. And just because we're the United States, I mean, it doesn't make sense for us to try to, you know, bombard other countries. And, I mean, that's why war and stuff go on. And then, like, you know, they get mad at us because we're the United States is too cocky, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean,
I agree with you, Zach. It's kind of like, let me give you a little analogy. I happen to be Catholic. I think Catholicism is right for me. I have a niece who happens to practice Islam. I have cousins who are Methodist, Episcopalian, whatever. But I don't believe that just because other people aren't Catholic that, or if they don't believe at all, that, you know, then there's no salvation for them. And that's just an analogy. I happen to think, don't get me wrong, I love this country. I trust me, I've got a flag as big as can be up in my yard, and I hang an even bigger one on the 4th of July and Patriots Day and whatever. So I love it. I love this country. I'm as patriotic as you can get. However, having said that, I don't think that we have the entire answer. It's not all about just us. I think other countries have a right to be just as patriotic and fly their flag and be just as happy to be where they are from and as proud of their country as I am of mine. I don't want anybody else over here coming over here telling me that I can't fly my flag and I can't believe in democracy and I can't believe in and what I believe in any more than I want us as a nation to go somewhere else and say, you can't believe what you want to believe. If you like it, I love it. If that's the way it works for you, that's cool. When it comes to, again, human rights issues, where you have some rogue idiot out there who is just murdering people, that's a different story. Then I think the international community needs to get together and say, look, that cannot happen, and we need to do something about it. But, you know, I'm not anti-American. I'm not anti, democracy, although I think democracy has its issues, but, you know, being democracy, it is inherent. There are issues inherent in being a democracy that you cannot get around. That's just the way it is when there's one person, one vote. If there's a dictatorship out there and it works, and the people say, look, you lead me and I'll follow you unquestionably, that's fine. That's a person's right, and that's a country's right. If they want to do that, that's fine. I have no problem with that. I just have a problem with us thinking that we have the answer for everything. We don't know everything. And I think that's wrong. I think there's a mindset here in this country that, you know, we are the best country on earth, and I firmly believe that, but that we are the smartest country on earth. That's a little iffy, but, you know, it works for us, and whatever, and I'm happy with it. But I don't think we have the right to go and tell everybody all over the world that they need to be like us, that democracy is the answer for everyone, because it may not be. And I don't believe it is. I mean, I think they each have the right to choose what they want to do. Now, granted, there are some countries where there is oppression and there is where they have no choice and the people have no information and they don't know. And that's where democracy comes in. That's where Amnesty International and other places like that comes into play, where you go out and you give them the information. And in this day and age, with YouTube and the Internet, and unless you come from a rock from under the far side of the moon, most places have information. I mean, I look on TV. I mean, you know, out in the desert, far desert, everybody's got a cell phone. I mean, so information is now more readily available than it has ever been in the history of the world. So we need to let these systems work. People will get information, and they will start making their own decisions, but you can't force it down their throats.
Ryan in Maine, what are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I totally agree with you know, the other caller from Carolina, but, you know, I don't think we'll ever get to a point, at least in our lifetime or in the near future, that we'll butt out of other countries' affairs, you know. Unfortunately, I think it's just the way it is, and especially with what I'm seeing for candidates, I don't see much of a change of that concept, you know.
Maybe in Zach's lifetime. I think Zach is 12.
You think Zach is what? You think Zach is how old?
Well, Zach is 12 years old.
Yeah, I am 12 years old.
No, Zach.
Maybe.
It's actually 11 and a half.
Oh, sorry. What is this, beautiful Zach right now? I don't think so. But, no, maybe in my lifetime I will see it. Like.
There's something to be said for being nosy. I think we do need to stick our noses in here and there. I think we need to be concerned about other countries. I think there needs to be, since we are the United States.
Before you say that, because see, this is my thing right here. Okay, that's another thing. The United States, they always try to act like we're so big and we just help the whole world. Okay, but look at our own country. I mean, if you know what I'm saying? If I'm not mistaken, I think there are a lot of homeless people here, a lot of people that are in need. But people are so quick to go help other countries. So, I mean, yeah, it's good to be concerned about other people in other countries, but when your own country's suffering, you might need to start at home first. That's just how I see it.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sorry.
Excellent point.
You're right.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yes, I was just going to back him up. He made an excellent point that we need to look at our own country and the people suffering here. Because, I mean, look at all when Bernie Sanders from Vermont, when he asked his constituents to send in letters, and I don't know if anyone's checked his website, all the letters that came in over the email, the people that are suffering because of what's going on financially, food, gas prices. There are
exactly.
Some people who are working, who have children, who are suffering badly, and people are callers have been talking about crises due to the weather. I mean, we have some real problems here. Zach made an outstanding point. I also agree with the callers from Maine and North Carolina who said that sometimes we do have to stick our noses in, but it doesn't always have to be our way either. It doesn't just have to be us saying something. That's why there's an Amnesty International, and that's why there's the United Nations. We need to find some consensus so we don't just go stomping in there like cowboys.
And why do we always have to be the one to do it, you know?
Thank you.
Plenty of other countries. You know?
Thank you. You know what I'm saying? If we're the only country, I mean, oh, boy.
Right.
And you know, Zach, that's true. You're right. I totally agree that we need to pay more attention to what's going on here.
And not to
the exclusivity of the rest of the world, though, because, I mean, there's no way that we're not going to be part of the global community. The thing is I think we need to be more part of the global community as opposed to the United States of the world.
But that's true.
You're right. There's a lot more that we can do here. And everybody says, well, we spend all this money and we send all this aid to other countries. Well, you know, whom much is given, much is expected. So we are supposed to send money to other places. We are supposed to aid other countries. That's what we do. That's part of what makes us great. And in my opinion, that's
the power
of the country. But
you say, I understand what you're saying, but does it make us great? Because, and let me tell you something, I mean, you know, like, just think about our everyday life. You know, forget, you know, the big picture of it. Just think about, you know, your neighborhood, you go to your job, the people you know. Just think about the people that are struggling. You know, I mean, look, Ford, you know, they're laying off people. Those are real people that's getting laid off. You know, I mean, some of them might not have who knows what. They're laid off. You know, a lot of companies are laying off. I mean, this is like a real thing that's going on, you know, in the United States. And it's like, what really is going on to resolve it? You know, I mean, you see people getting laid off. The gas is going on. Like, you know, people are getting kicked out. This is real stuff that's happening. So
that's true. And people get laid off. That happens in a democracy. We have a free economy. So sometimes there are corrections that are made. Sometimes things happen. I understand that, and I'm not saying that's right or it's wrong. I mean that's what you have when you have a free economy. Things happen. I mean, when you have these huge companies like AIG and all this other stuff that are folding, where it's going to have global repercussions, yeah, maybe I think the government should step in and try to help out. But, you know, right here in Raleigh, we have our News and Observer. They've laid off God knows how many people just recently. They've offered buyout. Those who didn't take the buyout will be laid off on Monday. That's just a free economy, and that's the way business works, supply and demand. I mean, there's lots of other theories. So that's how that works. We can't fix everything. That's just the way the economy works. It's up, it's down. So I understand that. It's just the way things happen. But what I'm saying is that we need to have that connection the rest of the world. You know, I think we should be more concerned about what's going on at home. I think, you know, when I was a kid and I was a teenager, we used to have a program called CETA, the Comprehensive Employment Training Act, where teenagers got jobs in the summer. And the government paid for that. And they worked for minimum wage, but they got to work for huge companies. Companies got to get some free labor for the summer. The kids got experience and a little school money and spending money, and it was a great program. We don't do things like that. And I'm not saying the government needs to, you know, I don't believe in this huge government. I think if we're paying all of these taxes, and if we can spend a gazillion dollars all over the rest of the world, which we do, then we can take some of that money and we can put it into programs here to, you know, get kids off the streets and put them into school programs and to make sure that the elderly can afford their medications and doesn't have to choose between whether I'm going to get my high blood pressure medication or whether I'm going to put some oil in my tank for the winter so I can heat my house. Those are the issues I'm talking about. I'm a socialist in that sense. So I think we need to take care of ourselves. We need to take care of the people. The least among us who can't get out and work or who need some help or who might need a little bit of a push or a hand up or education or, I mean, there's just so many other things that we can do that I don't think that we're not doing anymore. I mean, it used to be that you could go out and find help if you needed it. impossible now. When I went to school, I think I got 3 degrees, and I think it was like $7,500 a year to go to City College at that time. Now, I mean, nobody can afford it. It's absolutely insane.
It is insane.
How about Ryan?
Ryan, what you got?
What's that?
Nothing. Go ahead with your comment.
College costs, education?
Yeah, you know, I've got a son who's going to be hitting college in about another 6 years. And, you know, the thought of $35,000 to $40,000 tuition for each year, it's a pretty scary thought, you know. It doesn't seem feasible at some point, you know, when you figure, you know, 100 grand for a good college for 4 years, for him to maybe get a job if the economy is still like it is, you know. It's, you know, 6 years seems a long time away, but we could, you know, have another huge boom like we did, you know, several years ago, or we could still be where we are today, you know. So it's, I don't know, you know. And then, you know, the other part of it is, you know, people investing in 401ks right now, you know, those 401ks are tanking because of the stock market. So it's you get your retirement end of it and saving for college, you know, being a middle-aged, you know, parent, it's getting to be a point where it's like, geez, you know, it's unrealistic, you know, to have it all at this point.
Excellent.
It's unrealistic to have most, forget about all. I mean, it's just unrealistic to have, you know, just a little bit. And that's all the average person wants. I mean, they just want to work, and they want to save, and they want to be able to provide for their families, stash away a little bit, put their kids through college, have a little fun every now and again. Nobody's doing that anymore. I mean, nobody can afford to. When I started working, I started, like I said, as a bicycle messenger, and I was making minimum wage, which at that time was, what, $2.35 an hour or something like that, and my insurance was included. It was just a given. I mean, I didn't have to pay anything for it. It was just, if you got a job and you worked full-time and you, it was just included. And we're talking back, you know, when, you know, Kennedy was president. Well, not that far back, but you know, Carter was president. It was just different. I mean, people, jobs contributed to that. Your job threw in your insurance. If you did a good job, and you had to wait 6 months before it kicked in, but it was an incentive to look forward to. It doesn't happen anymore. I don't have insurance at my job, and I have a pretty decent job because I can't afford it. I can't afford to pay for the insurance plan that my job has, and it sucks. Mm-hmm. It doesn't cover anything. It's absolutely awful.
All right, we still have
I think it's time that we're the only industrialized nation on the planet that doesn't have a national healthcare system. If you go to Europe, and a friend of mine was bicycling across country, broke his leg, went to the hospital, and he has money. Was in the hospital for a week. They took care of everything when he went to check out, and he's like, hey, well, what do I pay? He didn't have to pay anything. And they have a cashier, but the cashier was there to give you money to make sure you had car fare to get home, not because they were there to take your money. And he wasn't even a citizen of this particular country. He was just bicycling across Europe and happened to break his leg and didn't have to pay a dime. And they were actually willing to give him money so he could get back to his port of origin to get back to the United States. I don't understand why we don't have a system like that.
If you'd like to call in, we still have 14 minutes left. We have one open slot, 646-200-3136. This is Up the Hill with Zach and Jill on XXVN. And please go ahead, Derek. I had to get in that obligatory ID.
All I know is crazy, because I mean, I was, you know, during the summer, you know, I went traveling or whatever. You can't even travel no more. I mean, they always talking about the land of free, America, this and that. You can't do nothing no more. I mean, I'm traveling. I'm spending more money in gas than I am anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, after all, it just drives you up the wall. I mean, you trying to squeeze a dollar, you know, don't even think about going somewhere like New York or Miami no more, because you definitely ain't going to have a good time, because especially if you're driving. And then even the airline tickets are high. Have y'all seen them? And speaking of high, y'all need to go in the stores later, because I was in Walmart the other day. Everything high. Now, like cartons of juice, you know, $1.94, a dollar, whatever. They done jumped up to $3. I went over there to the toothpaste aisle. You know, I wasn't going to get the big toothpaste. I was gonna get like the little one, $4 for some toothpaste. And I was just looking around Walmart, and I just couldn't believe the prices that I was seeing. Walmart is always talking about they roll back prices, but they really need to roll back some more, because everything is high. And I'm telling you, I mean, like, everybody's not rich, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I looked at that Republican campaign that night, you know, all those people sitting in there, you know, with their little nice, expensive clothes. Most of them are rich, you know, they got money.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these lower class and middle folks, for people who just making it, you know, working 9 to 5 and living check to check.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. You know, I mean, I've been having a secret affair with Captain Crunch for about 25 years. I have to call that off because it's almost $6 a box.
You know, that's bad.
Forget the milk.
$6 a box.
And forget the milk.
Exactly.
I think that's a box of cereal and a gallon of milk,
it's almost 10 bucks.
What are you saying, Jill?
A secret affair has ended on XXBN, right here on our very own talk show.
You'll have to switch
Captain
to Indiana Jones O's.
Captain Crunch is available. Captain Crunch is free.
That's actually
good,
too.
I wish you were free.
You got to get the berries, though.
Sarah Palin will be thrilled. Monogamy has returned to Captain Crunch.
No. And
it is National Pirate Day, so.
Hmm.
What's that?
I said it is National Pirate Day, so.
Got it right.
Yep.
And
good day for Captain
Pirate.
Crunch.
Speaking of pirates,
it is National Pirate Day.
Yes,
it's
National
also,
Wannabe a Pirate Day.
It's also Independence Day in Chile. My producer
that?
In Vancouver.
That's interesting.
My producer in Vancouver, Ken Kasarik, just emailed me to advise me. Independence Day in Chile.
Shouldn't
cool.
we get that off from work then?
I think we should get time off because Derek has become monogamous to you know, the Harris Teeter brand cornflakes.
It's
not like that back cereal for nothing, you know.
You know what? Even that is very expensive. And if you want, unless you want to eat dry, because milk, I don't know about what the rest of the country, but here, milk is more than a gallon of milk is more than a gallon of gas.
And that's the funny thing. You know, we complain about gas being expensive, but $4.33 per gallon of milk, it's like,
thank
I don't
you.
Think it's a cow shortage.
So
you know?
I went in there, and I mean, you know, because see, now I'm the type of person, y'all, let me tell you something. See, I get so, you know, involved in my own little world. You know, I just go to work and do my own things. You know, I ain't really paying too much to the politics or whatever. You know, I hear it whenever I hear it. But whenever I go in the store and, you know, like things that I'm used to getting, like juice, milk or whatever, and I'm seeing close to $5, I'm like, wait a minute now. I thought I was in Walmart. I just cannot believe that they are just raising prices. Because, like, one man was in there, and he was looking at the juice. Which, like I said, it was $1.94 like the day before, and then you go in there again, about $3. He couldn't believe it. The only thing he could say was, "I hope y'all go vote, because this is crazy." And I mean, it's like people really can't afford stuff like that. I mean, people, we need stuff like, you know, milk and whatever, and they just, I don't know what it's like.
Okay, we have a comment in the XXBN chat. Our producer in Whistler Mountain, B.C. has emailed me a conversation from chat. We have a chat listener who has, let me read it verbatim. As a lifelong Democrat, I'm torn between seeing who is on both sides and not sure I like either one. You guys?
I understand that sentiment. I've talked to a lot of people who feel the same way, who think that, you know, that neither, and I think a lot of people are frustrated because if you look at the ads, if you look at what's going on, I'm sick of these guys telling me what's so bad about the other guy. Don't tell me what's so bad about your opponent. If he's that bad, I mean, I'm a reasonably intelligent individual. I'll see that for myself. You don't have to constantly point that out. If you're attacked, yes, answer an attack. But don't just send me a commercial that tells me nothing but how bad your opponent is. Put a commercial on the air that tells me how good you are. I want to know what you're going to do. I don't want to know how bad the other guy is. And that's all I'm seeing. Now, North Carolina happens to be one of the battleground states, so they're spending lots of money here. Michelle Obama was just here tonight. She did three cities in like 3 hours or something, and she was right here in Chapel Hill and in Durham. And so they're really fighting it out here in North Carolina, so they're spending lots of money here, so we're getting lots of ads. And the majority of the ads that I see, they're all telling me how bad the other guy is, how bad the other guy's running mate is, what they did wrong, blah, blah, blah. All right, that's public record. I can go on the internet and find out how bad they are and what they did wrong. I can't go on the internet and find out what you're going to do. What do you believe? What's your policy? Tell me what you believe. I want to hear what you're going to do to make my life, my neighbor's life, my family's life better. What are your ideas? What makes you better than the other guy? Don't tell me what makes the other guy worse than you.
And the biggest drop in the whole thing is, you know, out of all the Americans, this is the best four that we have. You know, how can that really be?
I didn't get that. It was what?
Out of all the people in America, I mean, this is our best four people. It's like, is it really our best
people?
You know,
thank you.
You know, it seems like, you know, we only...
I don't know if it's our best four. It's the four that decided to run. Personally, in my opinion, I think presidents should be drafted. I think you should be dragged kicking and screaming into the White House, and you should be forced to serve. I think, personally, anybody that wants the White House, that wants to be president bad enough to actively seek it, should by no means be allowed to have the position. It should be one of those things that you're forced to do, you have to do, you do it. And that's just me, and I know that's unrealistic. But I just think the people who really want it that bad, there's got to be something inherently wrong with them.
Okay, we are down to 5 minutes. Let's get final thoughts. The chat person in Baltimore. Let's see, let me catch up to this. The chat commentator from Baltimore says, I think on the surface, Palin seems almost too good to be true. He feels, or she feels, I'm not sure, that this is one of the dirtiest campaigns in history. This caller, this correspondent is from Baltimore, historically Democratic state of Maryland. Personally, the Baltimore commentator says, I think the Democratic National Committee did not want another 4 years of Bill competing with Obama in the White House, but that opens the door for Hillary in 2012. My one thought are these the best people? If we're drafting from the nursing home in the sorority, then yes. Final comments from Ryan in Maine.
Well, you know, I think we've said pretty much everything that we can say on that. You know, we've got to just know all of our facts so we can make, you know, the most educated decision when we get there and you know, pick the best candidate that's going to hopefully lead us in the right direction, you know. Right now, it's kind of like, you know, picking between the Big Mac and the Whopper. They both have their good points, but, you know, in the long run, are they really going to help you out?
Right.
Okay, and Derek from Raleigh.
I agree. It's almost six of one, half dozen of the other. if I could leave people with one thought, is that just vote. I don't care who you vote for. Become part of the process. Find out the information and just get out there and vote. That's the most important thing, is just to become part of the process. And I think, if anything, this election will bring out more people and make more people part of the process than ever in history.
Okay, and Zach, what are your final thoughts?
My final thoughts would be, Americans, just hang in there. In America, government, just stop being so cocky, thinking everybody put a do like us, you know, because we ain't even doing it good ourselves. And as far as OJ, just go ahead and put him in jail, because he just got on everybody's nerves, and everybody know he did it. So just go ahead and put him in jail. As far as the gas prices, people, like I always say, don't be fooled, because they are always high. $2 is still high. Until we see that one again, I mean, some people may think those days are of the past, but I still got that hope. Until we see that one something, then we can talk. But 2, 3, 4, 5, and on up, it's high.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. I want to get in the comments, Tony in Baltimore, and we will have to wrap it up as we are out of time. Tony in Baltimore through the XXBN chat room. Tony says, somehow I think that this year people will vote for the party and not for the individual candidates. Merits, McCain and Palin may be a better choice, as Obama and Biden may be too liberal, race included, but they won't get it because of the Republican Kim, can you send me the rest? Because of the Republican in there now. We are out of time. I so want to thank all of our callers tonight. On behalf of Ryan in Maine, Tony in the XXBN chat room in Baltimore, Derek in Raleigh, Linda in Maryland, and my colleague Zach, this is Jill Brenneman saying so long from XXBN. This is XXBN, XXBN.net, Raleigh, Durham, XXBN Radio, Fargo. Next scheduled show, keeping it fresh, hot, and real with Zach and colleagues. This is XXBN. Produced tonight by Kenneth Sarah and Whistler. I'm